Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. John Haymond is 98 years old today. He lives in Wilbraham. But 75 years ago today, he was just 23, a young man who'd taken his girlfriend for a night out at what was then one of Boston's fanciest nightclubs, the Coconut Grove. On November 28, 1942, Haymond was just a couple of days away from joining the military, but that night, the club went up in flames.
I saw the kids light a match or whatever, which hit the ceiling, and the ceiling covered with cloth, and a pile of people going up the stairs. When they got to the top of the stairs, nobody could go out the revolving door because they were plugged with people.
The Coconut Grove fire was one of the deadliest in U.S. history. 492 people were killed, 166 injured. Haymond was one of the lucky ones who got out.
I had a table in the back, and I knew there was a giant door there. So I fought our way to that spot, but the door was locked. And I figured this is the end of the line. So just about the time I was ready to pass out, the fireman broke that door down, and I got out and was able to walk to the road, and we went to the hospital.
John Haymond was severely burned, and he never got to start his military service, but he did survive, unlike his girlfriend, who died at the hospital. Now, official reports from the time say there's no definitive cause for the fire, but you heard Haymond talk about seeing a young busboy lighting a match in order to see better as he was trying to change a light bulb. That story matches memories from other survivors, as was revealed in 2012, when transcripts of police interviews with Coconut Grove survivors were made public. Back then, we spoke with reporter Stephanie Shiro, the author of the 2005 book, The Coconut Grove Fire, about what we learned from those police transcripts and what mysteries still remain about the fire.
I think that what they give is an immediate account of what happened that night. These are done mostly the next day, and they're very raw, and they're done by people who have the memories very, very much alive. Memories play tricks on us, police officers will say there's no witness worse than an eyewitness. And in examining many of the various accounts of the fire, you'll find so many contradictions. This will sort of add to those contradictions, but it will also add to our understanding. I mean, these are people who escaped. I mean, some of them are people who are still looking for loved ones, who don't even know what happened to some of their companions that went into the fire with them.
All this time later. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that really caught our attention was that we also have in these interviews the immediate reaction from one Stanley Tomaszewski. Now,
right.
Remind us who he is and why he's important.
Stanley Tomaszewski was a 16-year-old busboy who was working the night of the fire. And he is largely faulted for lighting a match to screw in a light bulb that had come loose, and that particular flame was supposedly caught a palm tree in the downstairs lounge of the Coconut Grove, and that's where the fire started. Now, there are many people who dispute that theory. And there's a lot of theories of why this fire was so hot, spread so fast, and why it went out so quickly, which is another mystery. Stanley lived a life under the shadow of the Coconut Grove for the rest of his life, even though he went on to be in the Army and lived a very honorable life. He would get phone calls in the middle of the night blaming him for this fire. And in these interviews, this shows how it came to pass that he first described lighting that match. There's a bit of a mythology that he was very forthright about it. If you read these transcripts, you'll see the police or the questioners had to kind of tease it out of him.
Well, they asked him, what, five times if he had lit a match? And he says, no, no, no,
exactly.
Until he finally says, yes, I did.
And finally, he admits it. Now, you've got to understand, this is a 16-year-old boy. He was the main support of his parents, and he was absolutely traumatized. The first question the police put to him is, are you Polish? You'll notice.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they hear his axis, and they immediately want to determine his ethnic status, because this is the war, and there were some concerns about spies, about, you know, who are these people. So I think the transcripts really offer a kind of a telescope into the Coconut Grove, but also to the kind of tenor of the times.
I mean, the police procedure around World War II in Boston,
exactly.
1942.
Exactly.
Well, Stanley Tomaszewski, in the transcripts, there's a portion where he says, I couldn't see the bulb that he was trying to change, and I struck a match and put it on, and then I stepped away. Then all of a sudden, the palm tree seemed to take fire. I was standing on top of the bench when I saw the fire. Some lady said, look, the palm tree's on fire. I tried to beat it out with my hands. And then later on in these police transcripts, for example, a woman named Joyce Spector says she was in the building and she felt those flames licking at me, at her, and she crawled under the tables on her hands and knees. And then she says, all I can remember is people stepping on me, on my head and back, and I came to some sort of smoke-filled place. There was a million bodies and someone pulled me out by the head. I mean, you can feel that. I mean, you can still feel the shock in these
yes.
transcripts that they're feeling in the moments when they're describing it to the police.
And it's very raw, but it's very realistic. And the thing is that these are looking at these today, crowdsourcing them, having people who've heard stories from their parents and grandparents about the fire, experts, now that these are available, people can look at this and maybe we can get some insights into what actually caused the fire. Was it indeed this match, which is the obvious answer? But in so many ways, there are so many mysteries about the fire. I think you'll find in these transcripts people describing how fast it is, how they're mm-hmm. literally running out and the flames are right behind them. So it is a very stark, but it's also very necessary. I mean, we are still finding out things about this fire. I can't emphasize that enough. Every time I do a lecture, I find people with new stories.
That was Stephanie Shuro, author of the book The Coconut Grove Fire. We spoke with her back in 2012. Today marks the 75th anniversary of that deadly inferno.